I'd like to speak tonight about the wonderful grace and forgiveness of God. There's many verses in this wonderful book, the Bible, that we can read from, many stories, many scriptures I could open and speak to you about the grace and the mercy of God, but there was a story I want to share. It's in the Old Testament, and it really does show the wonderful grace and love of God. It's in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 33. It's on page 599. I'm just going to read the very first 13 verses. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of Jehovah, like the abomination of the nations that Jehovah had dispossessed from before the children of Israel. And he built again the high places that Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars to Baals and made Asherahs and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of Jehovah, and of which Jehovah had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars to all the host of heaven in both courts of the house of Jehovah. He also cursed his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he used magic and divination and sorcery and appointed necromancers and soothsayers. He wrought evil beyond measure in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. He set the graven images of idols he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and Solomon his son, in the house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land that I have appointed to your fathers, if they only take heed to do what that I command through Moses, according to all the law and the statutes and the ordinances. And Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations that Jehovah destroyed from before the children of Israel. And Jehovah spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they did not hearken. And Jehovah brought upon them the captains of the host of Assyria, who took Manasseh with fetters and bound him in chains of brass and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought Jehovah his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Jehovah was God. This is a wonderful story. A story of a man who did evil, but we see him in this scripture, how God shows wonderful grace. God shows wonderful love to such a sinner. He was 12 years old when he began to reign. Just to get a bit of history in, Manasseh was the son of the king Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Judah in Jerusalem. He was one of the good kings. And there were moments in his life where he could have done things better, or there was times when he began to slip, but generally over the life of Hezekiah, he was a good king that brought, he was faithful to his God. But when he died, his son Manasseh became king at just the age of 12 years old. Some of you may be around about his age or a bit older. At the age of 12, can you imagine that, becoming king? And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But I wanted to read this story tonight because it shows the wonderful grace of God. Manasseh latter was a man who knew what was right. His father, Hezekiah, at the time, did what was pleasing in the sight of God. And Manasseh would have been one who would have known what was right, because he would have seen his fathers do things throughout the kingdom. He would have seen his father act righteously in day-to-day life, running of the country, of the kingdom that he had. And then Manasseh comes along, and he does what is evil in the sight of Jehovah. He's a king who is known in the scriptures as a pretty evil king. If you saw him walking down the streets of Basildon, I think you would cross the road. He brought great fear to you. He would have done, because he was a man who wanted to do things his own way. He hated the things of God, and he led people astray. And the Bible tells us in this section we read that he deliberately went against the things of God. He deliberately provoked Jehovah and provoked him to anger. But here, Manasseh, we see someone who was a sinner and who he knew what was right but wanted to go his own way and chose to go his own way and led the people he commanded his way. You know, the Bible tells us that we're just like Manasseh. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done many bad things in our lives. We can all hold our hands up and say we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. But the wonderful news in the gospel is that there is grace shown by God to you. And there's grace shown in this account we have of Manasseh. He was a real person, a king in Judah. One of the first commandments in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, was you should have no other gods before me. You should have no graven images. And he went against that one. We see this here because he raised up altars to Baals, and he did many evil things in the sight of God. He built statues, and he did many evil things. Created idols. Made the people of Judah follow him. And he even went one step further, because he put the idols that he created in the house of God. And God continually spoke to Manasseh. He continually spoke to him. And you know, the gospel's going out tonight, and God is speaking to you now. Where you are in your seat. You may have come in this hall many times. You may have come to this hall a few times throughout the last few months and years. Or it may be the first time tonight. But you know, God is speaking in the gospel today. He's speaking to you where you are. Right down in Basildon tonight, he's speaking to each one of you. And he's speaking a message of grace and love. And you know, Manasseh, he was one who received multiple opportunities to listen to God, to listen to God's message. But he ignored it. Carried on going his own way. Doesn't that sound like us? We can all hold our hands up to that. Many times, maybe God may have spoken to you before. God may have spoken to you in this halt, but you may have said, well, maybe another time. I will, when I get to a certain age, I will next week or next year or next month. You know, God delights for you to come to him, and he wants you to come to him tonight. And God is still speaking. God is speaking to you. He's been speaking for over 2,000 years, and today the gospel has gone out again, and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to know him as a Saviour God. And in this scripture we see a God who showed grace, continually speaking to Manasseh, continually speaking to him, to plead with him that he might come to God. God is speaking to you. Have you come to him? He delights for you to do so. And in the gospel, we have a wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to present him to you as the Saviour for sinners. He's the one who came into this world, who came to redeem you, who came to bring salvation, that your sins may be washed away, that you can come into the presence of God. What a Saviour we have in the gospel. A Saviour who loves you so much that he gave his life to redeem you, to bring you into the very presence of God. And God desires for you to come into his presence. And it's our sins that keep us away. It's our sins that keep us away. Just like Manasseh in this scripture we've read, Manasseh would have been able to enjoy the presence of God, to enjoy having fellowship with God and having a relationship with God. Many people in the Old Testament, you can read of Moses, Joseph, who had a relationship with God and had enjoyment of knowing that they were growing daily in their relationship with God. But he ignored it. The gospel goes out because God wants you not to ignore his message but to receive it. And you know, God intervened. God intervened in this man's life. He kept going his own way, kept going afar off and doing his own thing and sinning against a holy and a righteous God. But then God steps in. Jehovah spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they did not hearken. And it says here, and Jehovah brought the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with fetters, and bound him in chains and of brass, and carried him to Babylon. You know, God stepped in. And it was at that moment, we see that he was probably taken and put in a cell. He was in chains. He was helpless. He came to it that Jehovah was God. He came to it and he repented of his sins. You know, we all need to repent of our sins in order to come into the enjoyment of knowing God as our Father and knowing God as our Saviour. And so, what do we have to present in the Gospel? I've read of a man of Manasseh where God showed grace and forgiveness to a man who'd done sin. You know, in the gospel, God has an answer for sins, and he has an answer that you might be saved. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the person, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. He came into this world. He was born into this world as a baby. He grew up. At the age of 33, he began to preach and teach the gospel. He went about doing good. The Bible tells us he went about healing the sick. He went about making the dumb speak, making the deaf hear, feeding those who were hungry. He showed grace and love to mankind. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. But you know, it was where he was going that brings hope to you tonight. It's where Jesus was going. Where was he going? Well, he came into this world to save sinners. And the Bible says that he went to Calvary. He went to Golgotha, it says in the scriptures. He went to Jerusalem, where mankind put him on a cross. Jesus, you know, he came here, he did many wonderful things. But his ultimate destination was to go to Calvary's cross. And he did that because he loves you and he came into this world to save you. Save you from sin. We've all done things that are wrong, but in the sight of a holy God, he cannot have one sin in his presence. The Bible says that it was just one sin that separated Adam and Eve from God. In the beginning of the world, it says God created everything in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day, and it tells us in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, that it was by one sin that brought the whole thing tumbling down. They were in the Garden of Eden. They were enjoying fellowship with God. They were enjoying a relationship with God. But then they sinned. What happened? It tells us that God spoke to Adam and Eve, and God said to them, there's a tree in the middle of the garden. You can eat from any tree in the garden, except the one in the middle. And what happened? Well, I'm sure some of you know the story. What happened? Satan came along, he tempted Eve, and then Adam and Eve, they both listened to the voice of the devil. They took from the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that God had forbidden them not to take from. And it tells us from that moment, they realised their shame, they realised they had sinned against God, and they hid themselves from God. They felt shame. They felt shame. You know, and from that moment it tells us that God sent them out of the garden, out of his presence, not because he didn't love them, but because they'd sinned. And God is holy and righteous and just, and he cannot have sin in his presence. Not even one sin. People say, well, God's a good God, he's a loving God, he shows grace, he shows mercy, and so he does. But he cannot just allow one sin in his presence. Because if he were to just sweep our sins under the carpet, or hide them away, cover them up, he would be unrighteous. God would be unrighteous. And that's something God isn't. God is holy, he's righteous, he's perfect. And he cannot have sin in his presence. And so, Adam and Eve, they were sent out of the garden. They were sent out. But even from the beginning of Genesis, we see a picture of God's plan for salvation. Because it tells us about how God was going to send someone. It says in Genesis 3 that there was going to be someone to come in. A seed of let's read it. It's in Genesis 3, I believe. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel. This was God speaking to Satan just after he had tempted Adam and Eve. There's a little snippet there, a preview of what's to come. A man coming, born of a woman. And it says in Galatians, fullness of time would come. God sent forth his son. Who is his son? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to save you. To take away our sins, to take away all that we've done wrong, that we can enter into God's presence. A man who was without sin. It says that the Lord Jesus was one who, in our Bible, it says there was no guile found in his mouth. And I know that's an old expression, but I use a modern translation. It says, there's no deceit found in his mouth. He was holy, he was righteous, he was perfect. God sent a perfect Saviour who can save us from our sins. And yes, Jesus, he went to the cross. And on the cross, he took on himself my sins, your sins. And by the blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his precious blood. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away every sin. And that's why in the gospel this good news, because we have a Saviour who can wash away all our sins, can wash away our iniquities, the things that we've done wrong, and make us fit to come into the presence of God. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God cares for you. That he doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to go to hell. Because, you know, it's a very solemn thing. It's a very sad thing to say. But I would be neglecting my responsibility in the gospel if I didn't mention it. Those who have fallen short of the glory of God, we face death. We face the awfulness of hell. But you don't need to face that if you've come to Jesus. The person of that God has appointed to save you from your sins. The person who God has appointed to redeem you and to bring you peace, to bring you joy, to bring you salvation. The wonderful Saviour, Jesus, is able to redeem you, wash away every sin, and bring you peace. Yes, Jesus, he died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He did no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. God sent that we might be redeemed. The perfect sacrifice. And yet God gave him for us that we might be saved. Saved. Saved completely from our sins. And you know, the person who trusts in Jesus, the person who trusts in Jesus, our sins are not seen anymore. It says in Romans, or is it, I think it's Hebrews 9 actually, it's Hebrews 9, it says, he will remember our sins no more. When he looks on us, he won't see our sins. Why? Because Christ, the Lord Jesus, he has taken them away. And they're washed away completely. And there's no good works you can do to that. You know, it's often the case, isn't it? And I've experienced it myself, I think. When I was younger, if I never did something bad, I would do something good in order to get some sort of favour with my parents. Or if I do something really, you know, you break something or you when they're out and when they come home, you come kind of say, oh, if I glue it back together, they might not notice. But, you know, you always found out in the end. But, you know, any good works or any cover, you can't cover up anything. Sin comes through every little thing, doesn't it? It's always exposed in the end. It says in the scriptures, behold, your sins will find you out. And so the only way for our sins to be completely removed is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can take our sins, give us peace with God, give us a hope for the future, give us assurance that we know our sins are forgiven. Why? Because we know he went to the cross, he shed his precious blood, he died, but on the third day it says he rose again. Yes, death could not hold Jesus in the grave. He was holy, he was righteous, he was perfect. He took our sins on himself into the grave, but he was able to rise again because he was holy, he was righteous. He had no sin on him. And so there's a wonderful message in the gospel that there is a saviour, his name is Jesus. Will you come to him tonight? Will you accept him for yourself? You know, Manasseh, in this scripture we read, he was a man who did evil. But such a man was saved, and saved to bring glory to God. A change took place in his life when he realised Jehovah was God. A change will take place in your life when you realise that you need Jesus as your saviour. We just look at this scripture in 2 Chronicles 33. After he realised Jehovah was God, what happened? Look at the change. He was a man who did evil in the sight of God. In verse 15 it says, and he removed the strange gods and the idols out of the house of Jehovah and all the old altars that he had built on the mount of the house of Jehovah in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he reinstated the altars of Jehovah and sacrificed on it peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve Jehovah, the God of Israel. What a change in his life. God demands a change in your life in order for you to be fit for the presence of God. And when I say a change, we can look at the Apostle Paul, a man who went around killing believers, killing Christians, putting them to death, causing much suffering. And you know, we see him. He'd done many evil things in the sight of God. But then what do we see? The very moment Paul, or Saul, he was saved, the very moment he was saved, on the Damascus Road, what did he do? He was guided by those who were with him, and he met one of the disciples, and then he began to preach the gospel. He began to tell everyone that he found the Saviour, he found Jesus, and he told everyone. He stood up in the synagogues, and Paul was one of the Saul at the time, he was a Jew. He was a man who the Jews would have looked at it, this is our man, this is our man. He's on our side. He's doing what we want, putting these Christians in jail and taking them and doing all these things. And then he stood up in that temple. Their faces would have been probably quite a picture. And then they started preaching Jesus. He started telling them how Jesus was the Saviour, how Jesus had saved him on the Damascus Road. What a change. Complete transformation. To a man who was persecuting Christians, to a man who was converting Christians, who was preaching Jesus, who was teaching the wonderful Saviour, the wonderful God, who provided Jesus Christ as a Saviour for sinners. What a change. I like it looking in the Bible, and you know, it's amazing when you look at stories in the Bible and you see changes of people's lives, how their lives are totally transformed. Think of John 4. There's a woman who was at the well, John 4. She had many husbands. She had sinned against God. What did she say after she came? She said she saw Jesus at the well. Jesus had spoken to her. And then she went out. She told everyone about what she had seen, what she had heard from this man called Jesus. Come see a man who told me all things he had ever done. Is not he the Christ? Yes. What a change that took place. I love it when you look and you can see changes that take place in people's lives. And there's many today, not just from reading the Bible, there's many in today throughout the world. You can read testimonies of people whose lives were completely changed from a life of drugs or a life of, you know, all alcohol or anything like that. And they come to Jesus and there's a change. There's a change. God can make us new in Jesus Christ. God can make us new. It says we're a new creation. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. All things have become new. Everything's passed away. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel, is that there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. And there's hope for Manasseh, who did many, many evil things. But God forgave him his sin. God was gracious. God was faithful. And he showed him grace. He showed him love. He showed him peace. And he came to him and he realized that Jehovah was God. And then his actions spoke loud throughout the whole land that he was converted to God's ways. Are you saved? Can you say tonight in your seat, I'm saved because I know Jesus? I'm saved because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a question you could say, but you can answer it with certainty if you repented of your sin and you've come to know Jesus. Manasseh was one who repented, and you know God requires repentance. In order for you to be saved from your sin, it says that God requires repentance and faith. That's how you receive the gospel invitation. Repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, repentance is saying you're sorry for your sins, saying, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. And then you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful Saviour that God has provided. The Saviour who died but lives again. And is coming again. The gospel is a hope. We have a hope in the Lord Jesus. You know, once we're saved and we trust Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we have a hope that our Saviour is coming again for us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you in this world. I'm coming again to receive you to myself. And there's coming a day when Jesus is coming. And he's going to take everyone who's trusted in Jesus to be with him in the air. To be with him. We don't know when it is. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. I can't give you any information. I know it's happening. I know it's on God's calendar. And the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, he didn't know the day. He didn't know the hour. God alone knows. But God has provided a way in which we can be saved through Jesus, but he's coming again to take us to be with him in heaven. That's a real hope. It's a hope the world can't give you. At the moment, the world's all in chaos. It's all confusing, and you're always thinking, oh, what can I do? What can't I do? There's so many restrictions in place, isn't there? But God wants you to know the wonderful hope, that there's hope in Jesus. He's coming again for you to take you out of this world, to be in heaven, to be where God is. God desires for you to come to know him tonight. May you come to him. May you receive him for yourself. May you call upon the name of the Lord. That's all you have to do to be saved, you know. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever you are, whatever background. You know, Manasseh, he came to know God. He came to know God. He came to know his grace, his mercy, his love. And he was a sinner. The Apostle Paul, also a sinner, who did many evil things. We've all sinned, but we can be saved and given eternal life through the Lord Jesus. May you come to him tonight for his name's sake.
Amen.